I'm going to fixate on this image here for a bit. Just because philosophy is the study of man's relationship to reality. It consists of five branches. There's a definite structure here for a reason. Now, again, this is out of the Greek tradition. This is where we left off. We're the inheritors of this tradition. So this is an illustration of where we've come. Metaphysics, you see up at the top there, is actually the study of the nature of the universe as a whole. What is reality? Are there two realities, etc.? Okay? Epistemology is a theory of knowledge. How do you know what you know? What qualifies as knowledge? What test does an idea have to go through before you can say, I do know it? Can you be certain? All questions of knowledge. These two basic branches give rise to the central branch of philosophy, which is ethics. Ethics, also known as morality. It is the branch that provides a code of values to guide human choices and actions. How should you live? What should be your goal in life? What is right and what is wrong? In turn, out of ethics come two derivative branches, politics and aesthetics. Now, politics studies the nature of society and the proper role of government, and as a corollary, has economics tied to it. And aesthetics is a philosophy of art, what constitutes an artwork. The overall view gives you man's relation to reality, how he knows this, how he should live, and therefore how he should govern his most crucial products of government and art. The first thing you see about the subject is that you cannot escape it. You may try to escape it consciously, but subconsciously answers to these questions are made, and they're picked up from the world around you. Views on all these questions. You may have a consistent idea or contradictory ideas, but this is not like zoology or astronomy where you can pleasantly live your life, never hear about the subject matter, and never be in any problems as a result of that. All these questions are central to a person living their life. Therefore, in some form or another, perhaps inconsistently, you have a view on all. Here in the modern United States, we have this primarily secular perspective on each of these branches. Now, we don't have consensus on this, but we are often accused by people that are anti-American that we actually have no governing philosophy that would permeate that's consistent. I'm going to offer you one now. Metaphysics. Under metaphysics, the central word is existence or reality. There is something. What is this something? Nothing esoteric. It's everything you see, everything available to the senses, everything in the heavens down to the contents of this here cup of water. The sum of that is existence or reality, and that is the axiom on which this view of philosophy begins. What is the basic law of reality? It's very simple. The law of identity, formulated first by Aristotle. It says that things are what they are. A is A. If you fail a college exam, then however unhappy that makes you feel, you failed. It's a fact. You may be able to get the teacher to change the grade on paper, but the performance that awarded that effort is the same. This is true of every fact, human or otherwise. Reality, it being what it is independent of consciousness. Another word for independent of consciousness is objective. Thus, if 50 million Frenchmen, or some number smaller or greater, want something to be true, it is not simply true just because they say it's true. You can wish, desire, believe alone, or in combination with the rest of mankind. That leaves reality, as such, entirely unaffected. It is what it is A, no matter what the content or beliefs of the human mind. Equally, since it is what it is independent of any other consciousness. And the big candidate, if you believe that the human consciousness controls reality, is the man upstairs, a supernatural being that controls reality, and that is by definition God. In essence, our post-Christian human-valued orientation of the world would say this: there is a reality. That reality is this world all around us. We deny subjectivism, the notion that human consciousness changes reality by changing the contents of its mind only. Most of us deny supernaturalism, the notion that there is some superpower force or God that controls or affects reality. Actually, over 25% of Americans now are atheists, meaning they reject all forms of the supernatural, only the natural ones. The natural world operates by causal law, cause and effect, each thing acting according to its nature. There are no miracles, no chance of strictly causeless events, no use praying because there's nobody to pray to. And if there were, they aren't capable of doing anything for you because things are what they are and do what they do. This also means that human beings are subject to cause and effect. One form of cause and effect is human will. Man does have the power of choice, the power of volition, the power to think or to not. And that is the first cause in a whole subsequent chain, the basis of the pursuit of happiness. Epistemology. The key word is reason. Most intellectuals in the USA believe that reason is the only means of knowledge. In fact, one of our very founding fathers, who captured Fort Ticonderoga, has a furniture store named after him, was an atheist, by the way, on top of it, and a patriot. So if anybody tells you there are no atheists in foxholes, really need to find out who Ethan Allen really was. But Ethan Allen wrote Reason, the Only Oracle of Man. So in the epistemology, reason is the key word. It's the only means of knowledge. This is to be contrasted with mysticism, which is a non-rational, non-sensory means to knowledge. Reason means starting with the senses and using logic to come to conclusions on its basis. Mysticism means you can dispense with the senses, objects, and argumentation. You get a direct, unmediated insight somehow into reality, which could be faith, which is one form of mysticism, or revelation, intuition, ESP, etc. This is a brief overview, so I cannot spend time on any of the detailed arguments on the subject, but the field of philosophy has many. Reason has three crucial elements that are essential. First, reason starts with the evidence of the senses. The five senses provide information that is completely valid, and it's the foundation for all other knowledge. It rejects the notion that we can differentiate senses from illusions or hallucinations. Second, on the basis of reason, human beings have the unique ability to form concepts or abstractions. These are also objective or independent of consciousness. In other words, they are not a product of the arbitrary decree of society. They are not a revelation from God. Concepts are our way of organizing sensory data that have rules of forming them, and therefore, when you use them properly, you can claim to have objective knowledge, such as the concept of the Pythagorean theorem, for example. To use them properly, you have to use logic. Logic is the method of reason and was invented or discovered, if you will, by Aristotle. The essence of which is you can't have your cake and eat it too, or nothing can be A and non-A at the same time in the same respect. That's the essence of logical thinking, to put the data together in a way without contradictions. Why can't you have contradictions? Because we're trying to know reality, and the basic principle of reality is A is A. There is no contradictions in reality. The result of using reason is that you can rely on your conclusions. And the third, your knowledge is certain, though it is contextual. This rejects the notion that there are no absolutes, that nobody can be certain of anything. It's all a matter of opinion. What's true for you isn't true for me. Some of the more wishy-washy areas of multiculturalism logically follow to their extremes, often follow and lead to these conclusions. So I would invite you to address them in your thinking later. This is one of the great threats the USA faces today. Whether truth is objective and rational, and every truth, when properly understood, is an absolute, this notion is often rejected as extreme. Is it extreme, for example, the truth that there are less than 1,000 people in this room at this place and time today? Is that an absolute truth? It will be true that today and at this time, there are less than 1,000 people. So far as there are no absolutes, every truth is an absolute. but you must use reason to arrive at this truth. You have to look out to get the truth. That is the facts. You have to look out, not in. The method is observation, concept formation, and logic, rather than waiting passively for illumination. Well, what about the emotions? They follow your convictions. They are not a means of knowledge, only indicators of your convictions. So that moves us to the central one of ethics. From this vantage point now, how are we moral? Individualism is the key to American ethics and the basis of the founding of our nation. Another word that some people call this is egoism. Epistemology tells us we have to get knowledge by reason. Therefore, that method applies to every field, including ethics. Therefore, ethics can't be based on whim, not on my feelings or your feelings, society feelings or God's feelings. The battle today is that some say God gave revelation of ethics. The other side say no, it's society that sets up ethics. Both approaches to ethics reject that reality is objective and reason is objective. So when we apply reason to ethics, we must ask, what in reality gives rise to ethics? It's not anybody's arbitrary say-so. What makes ethics necessary? The simple fact that man is a living being that has to act in a certain way in order to keep himself alive. Man is not genetically programmed to keep himself alive as animals are, as we can witness in the current state of the world. He can commit suicide, murder, and all-purpose mayhem. How does man achieve man's life in a system of human values? What is the basic virtue? Virtue means the kind of action in virtue with which you achieve your values. The fundamental implicit virtue for a humanist is rationality, the use of your intelligence. This is descriptive, not prescriptive here. To whatever degree man was mystical in other religious systems, reasons was always required to make the earliest tools, to grow the earliest crops. Everything we have that keeps us alive, medicine, modern technology, you name it, is a product of man's ability to think. And all of our disasters and failures through the years is a product of errors which were anti-reason, errors made by individuals. And when attributed to society, societies are always a collection of individuals. Reason leads to a whole further series of corollary human virtues, justified not themselves, but on the grounds that they are required if you are to achieve life. They are independence, the primary orientation to reality, to reach independent conclusions and accepting the responsibility of implementing those conclusions into practice, to be self-reliant in the mental world and in the physical world. Integrity, the loyalty to rational principles. The challenge of life is not the struggle against immoral passions, but to see the facts of reality clearly. Man must have convictions, and integrity presupposes a mind that seeks knowledge and accepts and follows reason. Honesty, the rejection of the unreal, rejecting any form of pretense, seeking knowledge because one needs it to act properly, and refusing to fake in his mind any fact, field, or value. Justice, rationality in the evaluation of people, the virtue of judging men's character and conduct objectively and acting accordingly. Productiveness, the adjustment of nature to man, the process of creating material values, whether goods or services. Such a creation is a necessity of human survival. The values required by man's survival must first be conceived and then created. Think of tools, for example. Pride, moral ambitiousness, the commitment to achieve one's own moral perfection. Man has to acquire the values of character to make his life worth living, to survive by shaping both the world and himself in the image of his values. This last virtue is the one most absent today due to a grave misunderstanding of its source. When people apply social values, social justice, socialism, it leads to a form of tyranny against some individuals. Independence is a crucial virtue. Using your mind to come to conclusions on the basis of your own best judgment as against being under an authoritarian and just mouthing what the authority is saying. obviously, that is a corollary or a result of rationality, because if you don't think independently, your reality is not thinking. You're just coping with what other people say. Similarly, integrity, acting according to what you think, is a critical virtue. Otherwise, why think it if you're not going to act on it? Productivity, using your mind to create physical wealth, is a crucial value. Otherwise, mankind cannot survive. Who is to be the beneficiary of all this behavior? Is it someone in another dimension? No, there's just one reality. Is it society? No, there are only individuals, and each individual has the same choice to live or die. Which choice confronts you? Your life or death. You are therefore the beneficiary of your actions. And ethics of rational self-interest. Each person lives by their own mind and for their own sake, neither sacrificing themselves to others nor others to themselves. As it stands today, we're given the choice between being an altruist, you sacrifice to yourself for others, or a selfish person who is supposed to go and sacrifice others for himself. Cut my throat for you, or you cut your throat for me. Instead, American values we seek to achieve on our own. If you want something from someone, you offer a trade. You trade value for value to mutual benefit by mutual consent, by the unforced judgment of the traders. And this is how we developed our political system. The application of the social question of ethics. Here is where we speak of the American system of capitalism, laissez-faire capitalism. In other words, the complete separation of government and economics as we had when we first formed the country. In fact, the Articles of the Confederation were so loose, we actually had to write a constitution with a Bill of Rights to keep people more organized. I do not mean capitalism of a mixed economy, which we have today, which is basically a mixture of fascism, socialism, and some capitalism, and a few other things all tossed together in a melange of conflicting ideas. I mean pure capitalism, laissez-faire, left alone, where the foundation is a system of individual rights. And I hasten to say by individual rights, I mean it as the founding fathers of this country mean, not the rights of an embryo to, you know, only of human beings once they're born. I do not offer them a right to a trip to Florida, a guaranteed job, a guaranteed hospital bed, daycare, nightcare, etc. They have only got the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness and property that they can earn by their own efforts. The function of government under these premises is to protect these rights and only these rights. How can you violate these rights? What does the government have to protect us from? Basically, there is only one way for a person to take away your life, liberty, and property, and that is to initiate physical force against you, steal your property, tie you up, shoot you. And also, there is the indirect use of force, which is fraud, where I rook you out of your property by misrepresentation so you are still doing it against your will. The government in this view is simply an agency whose function is to bar the use of physical force, direct or indirect, and thereby leave each individual secure in the knowledge that what he achieves by his own efforts is his. His rights are completely inalienable within his own sphere. No one and no group can interfere. By the same token, the government offers him nothing. It doesn't offer him welfare or special favors of any kind. It is not in favor of any individual or group. It doesn't offer special, quote, protection to TV watchers or stock traders or big businessmen or small businessmen or laborers or farmers or subsidies for college students, etc. Laissez-faire means hands off. Leave us alone. No welfare state, no Social Security, no Medicare. What would there be under capitalism? Three main agencies of government. The police, to protect citizens from domestic criminals, the military to protect the citizens from foreign aggressors, and the court system so that the system, citizens, will be able to resolve disputes in a civilized and rational fashion without the need to recourse to war in the streets, which would bring us back to the rule of force. Only this consistent approach to government can or ever has or will work in this country. If you try to mix this approach with some elements of government control as we have today, and of course these controls keep growing and growing, the end game or result of this mixed economy is dictatorship. Not in the sense that it is inevitable, but it is inevitable if the country doesn't change its direction. The mixed economy tells you the government can step in on behalf of some group and give them a favor, which of course makes all the other groups hurt because that favor had come to from them because the government produces nothing. It can just herd one group in to help another. So then that group clamors for some more controls and handouts, and then another group does this. This has been the history of the United States for well over 100 years. And if you look at history, you'll see that every form of controls has necessitated further controls and further controls. And today, our political movements don't even question that we need more and more controls. They simply fight over which controls should come next. The liberals argue that we need more economic controls, and let's not have them on spiritual moral grounds. And the conservatives say, no, we need economic freedom, but we need more controls over thought, to legislate against gays, to legislate against abortion, to mandate prayer in schools, to teach creationism on par with evolution. The conservatives are exactly and are actually worse for injecting controls into intellectual and ideological matters, to mandate a viewpoint down the throats of helpless young students. The point being that both of these sides fight vociferously, they are both for the same end result, bigger government and more controls.